This is KCUR 89.3. Over the past few years, some Kansas City neighborhoods have seen major changes as the city has attracted new residents and the suburbs have become more diverse. But shifting demographics are nothing new, and there may be no better place to witness this than in houses of worship. KCUR's Alex Smith has the story of one building that's been a cherished home to two very different religious groups.
I guess I had this sort of amorphous idea of some cowboy culture that was far different from New York. But to me, you know, it was exotic. And the prospect of moving somewhere different was exciting.
If that voice sounds familiar, it's because it's KCUR's own Dan Margulies, who heads the health reporting team here. For Dan, this story hits close to home. He was 8 years old in 1961 when his father, Rabbi Morris Margulies, left his small congregation in New York and moved the family to Kansas City to become senior rabbi of Congregation Beth Shalom. It was a big step for the young rabbi and led to more than a little culture shock.
When he came here, he sometimes thought, what have I done? This is a Jewish desert.
Jewish Kansas City in the 60s may not have been New York, but it wasn't exactly a desert either. Midtown had become home to a thriving Jewish community for decades, one that in 1927 completed a Moorish-inspired temple at 34th and Paseo that would have been impressive even on the coasts. David Glickman is Beth Shalom's rabbi today.
They were starting to make a name for themselves, and they wanted to have a house of worship that gave honor to God and honor to the community and was also part of the fabric of the civic life in America.
The Moorish revival trend of synagogues started in Central Europe in the mid-1800s and led to Jewish temples all over the world looking like the one in Kansas City, featuring domes, arches, and ornate designs inspired by the Middle East. Dan says he was awed by it when his family arrived.
It was this vast Gothic building to me with all kinds of mysterious passageways. I used to, you know, sneak out of the services when my father wasn't looking, of course, and explore.
The synagogue had become the hub of the conservative denomination of the Jewish community. But in the 60s, even though services were still well attended, the community was moving south. Beth Shalom relocated to a new synagogue in the early 70s, but that wasn't the end for the old building.
The one that you encourage while they were in the valley that encourages you in your day of adversity. And so we must understand. He says.
That's Bishop Mark Tolbert, head of the Victorious Life Church, a mostly African American Pentecostal church that got its start in 1938 and took over the temple building after Beth Shalom left. Tolbert says the temple's old Hebrew and Jewish symbols are a mystery to most of his congregants. Their appreciation for the building, however, goes beyond any particular religion or denomination.
It's just sheer beauty. That's what we get out of it. You know, is you can't go in a church and have this kind of a view except you come here.
The Victorious Life Church made the site its own. It opened a charter school here in the 90s. Church members have also carefully preserved the original building, maintaining the big stained glass windows, ornamentation, and architecture that are now approaching 90 years old.
And I am Dan Margulies.
I'm Robbie.
Robbie and Robin.
I'm Dane Summer.
Dan and a few other long-term congregants recently gathered at the old temple and got to take a tour as part of a Children's Mercy interfaith program. It had been 45 years since Dan set foot inside.
Now, was any of this here?
No.
The group made its way through the halls and offices before opening a heavy wooden door and stepping into the sanctuary.
Oh, wow. Yep.
I could just weep right now.
Nancy Wolf attended services at the old synagogue as a young girl and says being here brings back a flood of memories, including the voice of cantor Jacob Rothblatt, who officiated with Dan's father at services. He died in 1980, but made a handful of recordings like this one. It's been decades since prayers and songs like this have been heard at the Paseo Temple, but Rabbi Glickman says many Beth Shalom congregants still beam with pride remembering the building and are happy it continues to brim with life.
I think that this is such a wonderful use of that building, to have it filled with worship, to have it filled with song, to have it filled with prayer, to have it filled with inspiration, to have it filled with people who live in the neighborhood, to have inspiring words being taught in it. I can't think of a better use of that sacred space.
And we have it on good authority that the earlier rabbi's son, Dan, couldn't agree more. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Alex Smith.
We thank the Mar Sound Archives and the State Historical Society of Missouri for their help with this story.